Well, we have a particularly long reading today, so please, in your own prayers, add a little more detail to what we have prayed together here this afternoon. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 1 Kings chapter 8. First Kings chapter 8, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month Ethanim, which is the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. And they brought up the ark of the Lord and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those did the priests and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves that the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without, and they are there, and there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone, which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. I have surely built thee an house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. And the king turned his face about and blessed all the congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and hath with his hand fulfilled it, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build an house, that my name might be therein. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David my father, Whereas it was in thine heart to build an house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house unto my name. And the Lord hath performed his word that he spake, and I am raised up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And I have set there a place for the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers, when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord, in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who has kept with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him. Thou spakest also with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, saying, There shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have builded. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant, and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today, that thine eyes may be open toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel when they shall pray toward this place. And hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and do and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked, and bringing his way upon his head, or to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous, to give him according to his righteousness. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray, and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again into the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When the heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictedst them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be the caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all people, all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place and forgive and do and give to every man according to his ways whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou, only knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake, for they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm, when he shall come and pray toward this house, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee, as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name. If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives into the land of the enemy, far or near, yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that are carried captives, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions, wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people, and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron. That thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. And it was so, that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven, and he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord your God to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. And the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. And Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered unto the Lord 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. The same day did the king hallow the middle court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and meat offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar that was before the Lord was too little to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat of the peace offerings. At that time Solomon held a feast, and all Israel with him, a great congregation from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt before the Lord our God 7 days and 7 days, even 14 days. On the eighth day, he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went unto their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had done for David his servant and for Israel his people. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. I have this chapter divided into 5 sections, each section beginning with Solomon did something. These are actually fairly clear divisions. During the break, I handed a book to Mr. Dillard called A Tree by the Water. And it's a book on meditation by a gentleman that I don't know much about named Edmund Smith. I've read the first chapter of it, and so far so good. One of the points that he makes in that chapter, and I think this is a very helpful point, is that when we meditate upon Scripture, one thing that we ought to do is take, say, a book of the Bible, take a short one, if you will, and divide it into its chapters. I guess that's already done. And take those chapters and divide them into sections. And then take each section and memorize what that section is about, and that will help your meditation. It's a really good idea, I think. So whenever you come to a chapter of the Bible, think as you're reading through it how it's divided. This chapter is divided to Solomon did this, Solomon did this, Solomon did this, and each one of those sections then has the description and the filling up of what Solomon did there. And that will help you as you meditate on one chapter, a portion of a chapter, or whatever it is, to organize those thoughts in your minds. I think that's a good suggestion. It's not a necessary way to meditate, but I think it's a helpful way. Okay, so the first section then that I have here is verses 1 through 11, and the chapter begins, "And Solomon assembled." He assembled the elders of Israel and the heads of the tribes and the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel. He called them all together in order that they might bring the Ark of the Covenant up at the place in Jerusalem where it was, to the new place now on the Temple Mount of Jerusalem, where the new temple is, so that all of the appurtenances and the Ark of the Covenant and the tent itself might be brought then and set in the temple. So that's the first section. The house was not complete. We read in the last chapter, did we not, of the palace and then all the other things that belonged in the house. The chapter before that, we read of the beauty of the house, but notice it was not yet complete. It would not be complete until that thing, that artifact, where the Lord said, "This is how I will manifest my name there." Only then, when that is set, will the temple be complete. Of course, we're talking about the Ark of the Covenant and the other appurtenances. That's how the Lord said He'd manifest His name. There are lots of places that meet that have church on the outside of the building. Unless the way the Lord designs to reveal Himself is there, then it is but an empty building. And in these days, the Lord doesn't have for us an Ark of the Covenant. He has indeed the preaching of His Word in its purity, the proper administration of the sacraments, and the order of His people, like we said earlier today. This is how the Lord manifests His name. This is what He calls a place of His dwelling, a church, an assembly unto Him. So, even though richly furnished then, the worship of God is not a thing of beauty apart from His appointment. The ark represented the presence of the Lord and the place of meeting with Him. The grandest worship houses are but brick and mortar and stone without His presence. And the humblest of structures is more beautiful than this house if the Lord abides there. Right? That's how we need to think about that. Notice also that the Lord will not inhabit just any house, but it will be the house of His choosing, the house of His appointment. So then, notice also that all of the ornateness that we see here and the richness, well, that's to speak of the beauty of His holiness, the beauty of pure doctrine, the beauty of that discipline that we talked about before. All right, so that's the first section then. They bring the ark up, and notice that when they do and they set it in its place, that the Lord manifests His acceptance of this house and what they have done by filling the house with His glory. The priests could not stay in there to minister. They had to leave. They had to come out of there because the glory of the Lord, a brightness beyond our comprehension, was settled in that house. There was a visible manifestation of the glory of the Lord in testimony to His acceptance of that house. I want you to understand that in the days of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul takes that same concept and says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That it is in the competent and true preaching of the doctrine of Christ that the glory of God is beheld today. All right, so then 12 through 21, "Then spake Solomon," and he's going to turn and bless the people. And there are two instances in this chapter when he does that. It says Solomon spoke and he turned and blessed the people. But the first words out of his mouth are, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel," which spake, and so on. And so let us understand that in blessing the Lord, we are indeed blessed as well. Right? So we have Solomon as a type of Christ. This place of worship, he says, is forever. It was permanent in what it represented, not that itself was a permanent establishment. Note that David's desire was a good desire, although it did never come to fruition. And this is something this is a point I wanted to stop and speak about for a moment, particularly. I have people ask me from time to time about the RPCGA and, you know, are we a good denomination and so on and so forth. And I invariably tell them that we are not a perfect denomination, that we're like every other denomination in that we have some strengths and we have some weaknesses. The other thing that I'm always careful to tell them is that, you know, we here at CCRPC, we have a desire, a great desire, to see the work of Reformation go forward. We also understand that we will not be able, the current officers that are at CCRPC, at Brainerd Hills, at Sheboygan, or whatever the church is within whatever denomination it is, that we will not see all of the reform that we want to see in our day. David desired to build a house, but it was not his to build. It was his to prepare for, and it was his son's to build. And so the same is true here. We may have, your elders may have great designs on the reformation of this church, the reformation of our denomination, and so on. The Lord may not grant all of those desires to this session, but to the next. And so we are preparing for that day as well as this day, when that reformation will go forward. The Lord has so ordered things that we must depend upon one another from generation to generation, rather than thinking of ourselves as isolated generations. And so it is important that when it says that it was a good desire that David had in his heart to build the house for the Lord, and yet the Lord said, no, your son will build it instead, that we make a use of that by remembering that we may have many things that we desire to do in this age that will be left for our successors. And so we must then be thinking along those lines of raising up our successors, and those who are that next generation thinking of themselves as whether or not, but what part they will play in that succession. Whether that will be an official, an officer succession, whether it will be a membership kind of succession, and each of those roles has a part to play in the ongoing generation upon generation work of building the house of the Lord as Christ himself built it. So I wanted to stop and mention that, because it was a good desire for David, but it was not the Lord's will that he should build it, but that his son would instead. All right, so the next section, I have that as 22 through 53. That's the very long section, and this is Solomon prayed, right? Solomon assembled, Solomon turned and blessed, Solomon prayed. Now, at the beginning of this, it says that Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation. At the end of it, we hear in the next section that he rose up from off of his knees. So somewhere between the beginning of this prayer and him standing to bless the congregation in the next section, he dropped to his knees. The account in 2 Chronicles says that he started out upon his knees. So as we harmonize those passages, we understand that Solomon turned himself, as he was standing before the people, he turned himself toward the temple, and then, standing there, before he began his prayer, dropped down to his knees and then rose up afterward. So, praise, first of all, leads this prayer. Solomon approaches the Lord first, not with his petitions, but with his praise. He says things like, there is none like thee, thou art the covenant-keeping God, thou art merciful, thou art the promise-keeping God. And then he speaks about the omnipresence of the Lord. It's impossible that the Lord should dwell in this house, because the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. Then he brings his petition, and he asks for several things. He says, inhabit this house, that is, dwell among us thy people, and keep thy promise to my father David. Hear our prayers and provide justice in our assembly between man and man. Be a God of justice over us. Then there is confession of sin. There is confession of sins to come, recognition of just chastisement and God's fatherly care in times of apostasy, petition for compassion and mercy in the face of a repentant people, and the provision of mercy when there has been offense against God, that the Lord would grant repentance and forgiveness. And note that the mercy that is promised here is first exampled or first exhibited in that the Lord grants repentance and forgiveness. You see that? It is a mercy when we see that God is granting repentance. Even if there's never a change in the condition of the people, that the Lord grants repentance is a sign of His mercy. Okay? All right, then we have the purview of the house itself. And Solomon, in some ears, I guess, shockingly, asks the Lord that this would be a house of all nations, right? To hear the petition of the stranger that prays toward this house. And then that the Lord would go forth with their army in times of battle. And then the petition that the Lord would take notice of His people. In other words, he prays with great humility. And then we have the rationale of the prayer. We approach by way of mercy, by way of promise, and by means of the covenant the Lord has made. So it's a very, it's just a great prayer. And those seven heads, those seven different titles of the, or seven different sections of the prayer speak to that. All right, so then in verses 54 through 61, we have Solomon made an end of praying, and he arose from before the altar from kneeling, and he blessed the people and the Lord again, just like he did before the prayer. So he bookended his prayer with a blessing before and a blessing afterward. So he blessed God in the presence of the congregation, that he had given rest to his people, that he kept his promises made to our fathers, the entreaty of his abiding presence, the entreaty to keep our hearts unto him, his closing praise, and then his admonition to the people, be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in all of his statutes and to keep his commandments. Then the final section, the king sacrificed. Okay, so we have the king assembled, then the king brought in, right, first section, then we have the king blessed, then the king prayed, then the king blessed, then the king sacrificed. And so the king sacrificed, and I hope you saw the richness and the greatness of the offering that Solomon offered. That the altar, the altar of burnt offerings, which was 10 cubits broad or 20 cubits? I think 20 cubits broad, some 30 feet by 30 feet. And it was not able to receive all of the offerings that Solomon brought. Well, when you hear what he brought, 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. 120,000 animals. Just think, those of you who've ever, you know, done any animal rearing or hunting, just think of what that means to take care of those animals after they've died. All of that work. And yet, this is a great and joyous day. All right, so when we see all of these things then, the greatness of the offering, we recognize that the people still fell away and that Solomon himself still fell away from the Lord. That Solomon spent a time in the middle section of his life greatly apostatized. He burned incense to other gods. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, it's not the outward things that get it done. It can never be such. The outward things work only insofar as they have that influence by the Spirit of God upon that which is inside, that which is in our thoughts, in our affections. So we must make then a right and spiritual use of all of the outward things that the Lord brings. Well, that was a long reading. I appreciate your patience. Let's stand and continue.